The scripture reading from this morning is found in John 10, 1 to 21. The Good Shepherd and his sheep. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. The peace of the Lord be with you. So for those who don't know me, my name is Jenny, and I am married to this guy over here, Josh, who you will see in shorts, I'm sure, on Community Day. When I was a young teen, I read a famous 1970s preteen novel by Judy Blume called "Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret." It's about a young girl struggling to make sense of her preteen life and things like boys and going through puberty. And the struggles of that made her interested in finding God and seeking solace from him. So she asks, "Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret." I think it's an important question that many of us ask because it points to a deep longing in our hearts to know God and be known by him. We long to know that we're not alone on this journey and that God is with us, leading us to green pastures, guiding us to places that give us nourishment and life. Well, the good news is, we are not alone. Jesus is right here with us, guiding us and leading us. But some of you may ask, well, how does that work? Isn't Jesus in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God? And the key is to understand that Christ still speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, whom Paul the Apostle calls the Spirit of Christ. The book of John records multiple teachings where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, making sure that the disciples understood that Jesus will leave the Holy Spirit in his place. The Spirit counsels us, shepherds us, and as Jesus says in John 16:13, guides us into all truth. And then Jesus says this about the Spirit: "He will only speak what he hears. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." So So you see, in the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, Jesus the Good Shepherd is still with us. Some people know the presence of the Holy Spirit as a still, small voice. Spiritual theologians will often refer to his presence as the inner witness of the Spirit. One of my professors from Regent College, Gordon Smith, who you may know as a former preaching pastor here several years ago, and who's now the president of Ambrose University, writes about the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit in one of my favorite books, The Voice of Jesus. He says this inner witness, or still small voice, is the direct impression in our hearts and minds that we often sense in response to some event or circumstance. John Wesley, the famous 18th century Anglican preacher and theologian who founded the Methodist movement, tells of his experience with the Spirit's inner witness. While someone was reading aloud Martin Luther's introduction to the Epistle to the Romans, he felt deeply moved by the wonder of God's love. He described his experience in the famously written words, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." In that moment, he physically experienced God's love and God's assurance that he was personally forgiven, loved, and accepted. And from then on, he believed that God did speak to us through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit and sought to teach Christians about wisely discerning the Spirit's voice. Maybe you've experienced the Holy Spirit this way, in a prayer time when you feel a deep peace and you know God is with you. During a worship song, when it seems like you are feeling so much freedom and joy for no apparent reason. In a sermon, when you feel like God is just striking your heart, speaking directly to you. Grounded in the scriptures and discerned with the community of Christians, Jesus is speaking to us by the Holy Spirit living in us. And what we need most is to learn to recognize the inner witness of the Holy Spirit of Christ. So, as we ask that question, God, are you there? It's me, Jenny. God, are you there? It's me, Yi Cheng. God, are you there? It's me, One Fun Guy. God wants to speak to us and wants us to know, yes, he's here. And yes, this is his voice speaking to us. So as we enter into the parable of the shepherd and the sheep, let's ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how to recognize him. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the gift of your Son and the gift of your Holy Spirit, through whom Christ resides in our hearts and still speaks and is very much alive with us today. Come, Holy Spirit, as we enter your word, your scriptures, the teaching of Jesus, and teach us what it means to hear your voice and to be drawn closer to you. Create that hunger, that thirst, that longing for you as you have for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, how do we know that we are hearing God's voice? Well, some of the answer lies in the passage for today from the book of John. It's one of Jesus' famous parables about the Good Shepherd. And by the way, a parable, for those of you who don't know, is an analogy in story form that displays a truth or a principle. Jesus uses the imagery of a shepherd and a sheep to describe the relationship between himself and people who follow him. One of the ways to tell that you're hearing the voice of God is to ask, what is the character of this voice I'm hearing? Right away, Jesus tells us how to tell the difference between him and a fake. In verses 1-3, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Jesus is saying, notice the character of the voice. The thief and robber don't go through the proper entrance. They just sneak in some other way. They violate and disrespect boundaries. Contrast the thief's nature to the shepherd's character. The shepherd always enters through the gate. The shepherd is honorable, respectful, trustworthy, and has integrity. He has permission to be there. It's the same with God. The Spirit of God is never forceful or deceiving. Have you ever heard the old expression that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman? God, the Holy Spirit, would never force his way into our lives. God is always honorable, respectful, and trustworthy. He comes in through the proper gate and does not barge in through some other way that is abusive and violating. If you hear a voice that is abusive and violating, that's not the voice of God. A long time ago, I was at a Bible study, and afterwards, I felt quite unsettled. I had felt unsettled because there was something that I kind of said a little bit sharply to a person, and it just made me feel bad. And I was really, really worried about whether I had hurt this person's feelings or not. And soon, that spiraled down to starting to feel like I was, you know, stupid and dumb. And I was feeling ashamed and starting to go into sort of these self-hating thoughts about myself. Finally, Josh had gotten home, and I shared with him what I had felt. And Josh turned to me and said, "Jenny, is that God speaking to you?" I was kind of taken aback, and I was like, shame, self-hatred, feeling like I'm being beaten down by those thoughts, that doesn't sound like the safe, gentle voice of God. So I said, no. And he said, "So what voice are you listening to then?" And I said, condemnation from Satan. And he said, "What are you going to do about it?" "I'm going to go tell him to leave and pray and ask God for help." So he said, "Good." And I sheepishly went off to pray. And in my room, with the name of Jesus, I command Satan and his voice of shame and self-hatred to leave. And amazingly, I felt the heavy, oppressive voice of shame and self-hatred leave. And then I was able to talk to God without that oppressive voice, talk with him about what had happened in this study and ask for forgiveness and give that to God, knowing that I was forgiven and that I was going to talk with that person and make things right. I was so glad Josh was there to talk some sense into me. And I was glad that he knew Jesus well enough that he knew immediately that I was hearing someone else's voice and not Jesus. We all need to be in the place of humility and teachability, and we're all growing in our relationship with God. To help us to discern through that voice, we do need others with us. The good shepherd is the type of person that would risk his life for a sheep when a wolf comes to prey on them. There is a good relationship between the sheep and the shepherd because the sheep trust him and they listen to him. And as we are discerning the Spirit of Christ in our lives, this quality of safety, goodness, and trustworthiness is the thing that we need to look for. The second question we need to ask ourselves is this: where is the voice leading you? Jesus also uses the imagery of a gate that leads to green pastures to describe himself. "Very truly, I say to you," in verse 7, "I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." When I was a student in university, I was studying political science in Boston, and one of the courses that I took was sociology of homelessness in America. And in that course, we had a guest speaker, and she told about how she had become a drug addict and on the streets, and how her drug addiction had gotten worse and worse. She started with crack and then gradually went to heroin. And she became completely lost. She was sickly, and all she was thinking about was her next fix. It came to the point where she was down in some filthy, dirty room of some sort, and she was barely able to get up. Her body had been so eroded and taken so much from the use of her drugs that she could literally feel death at her door. And in that moment where she was at rock bottom, she shared with this class that she saw, all of a sudden, saw this picture. She started to smell fertile soil and saw a picture of this fertile soil and saw a little tiny green plant pop up through it. And in that moment, all of a sudden, something changed within her and she decided to fight for life. That image gave her hope. Now, she didn't say she was a Christian. I'm actually pretty sure that maybe she wasn't a Christian. But I think that by God's grace, because of his compassion and his love, perhaps because of others' prayers for her, fighting for her, that God, in his grace and mercy, showed her that picture of hope to help her to fight for life. And later on, she came out of her drug addiction and even ended up marrying a Harvard professor. Is the voice leading you to green pastures? Jesus says, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will literally be given life. Does the voice you hear give life? Does this voice make you feel free? The psalmist in the 23rd Psalm says, lead me by still waters. Is this voice leading you to noise and chaos or to delicious stillness and peace? The thief steals, kills, and destroys. That voice leads to death. If the voice leading you to places like shame, self-hatred, bitterness, or wanting to die, that is not the Spirit of God. So what have we learned so far? The first thing is to notice the character of the voice. Is it honorable or abusive? The second is to know where the voice is leading you. Is it toward life or toward death? What these two things tell us is that we need to intimately know Jesus. In verses 14 to 15, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus is referring to a deep, intimate love so great that it's mirrored in Christ's relationship with his Father. And it's a love so great that he would even give up his life for us. The original Greek word used for good in good shepherd is kalos. It can refer to physical attractiveness and beauty, but it also refers to the beauty and attractiveness of a person's heart. God's heart in this case. God is beautiful because his heart is pure, good, noble, honorable. He's so honorable and concerned that we would find freedom and life that he would even lay his life down for us. This theme is elaborated later on in John 15 when Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. N.T. Wright says this, when Jesus calls, people want to come. When they realize he has died for them, they want to even more. The point of calling Jesus the Good Shepherd is to emphasize the strange, compelling power of his love. End quote. God is wooing us. He's compelling us with his beauty, longing for us to know him more. Who is this God who would even die for us? What kind of love is this? So how do we learn to know the voice of this God better? Well, one of the best ways and primary ways we have learned in the church to know Jesus is through his scripture. That's why many Christian communities emphasize a regular practice of Bible reading. But when I talk about scripture, I don't just mean passing your eyes over words or even memorizing scripture, though memorizing is a helpful practice. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Scripture is an epic story of God's love for his creation. When we read scripture, it isn't just for the sake of reading it, but for the sake of getting to know God's heart, the kind of person God is. The biggest mistake we can make as Christians is to think knowledge of God is the same as the presence of God. Let's not commit the ultimate sin in believing that God is Father, Son, and Holy Bible. He's not just systematic theology or Foundations of Christianity 101. Jesus warned his Jewish listeners in John 5:39-40, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life." The Bible we have isn't God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is definitely sacred, and we take it seriously. But it testifies to God and to Jesus. And when we read the scripture, it's to know God and to find God himself. God is not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. God is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God in our lives right now, in us. This is why we read the Bible. Not for the scripture themselves, but for who they testify to. They point us to Jesus. The Spirit of Christ confirms it, and both the Spirit and the Son points us to God the Father. It's not about memorizing, but it's actually encountering a living, breathing God that the scriptures point us to. Look at the overall story of scripture. As you read the Bible, you should find that from beginning to end, God has a longing for intimate friendship with his creation. He sees that humanity is floundering. We hurt one another. The world is slowly breaking down. And yet, throughout history, God is seeking to make a way to turn us from our self-centered, hurtful, and destructive ways and bring us to him and to a place where we will model the same life-giving love to one another. God will never contradict himself or his character. He is all the things that scripture displays him to be. He chooses grace over legalism. If in your prayer time you sense an offer of grace, even in the midst of your shortcomings, you can be confident that that is God's voice offering you grace. If you know that over and over the Bible talks about God being slow to anger and rich in love in Exodus, Numbers, Jeremiah, Psalms, Joel, Jonah, and Nahum, and if your friend is praying for you saying, "I think that God wants you to know that more than being angry with you, he wants to shower you with his love," then you can be pretty sure that it's God's voice speaking to you. Look at the stories of Jesus. Understand him and the way he lives. In all his interactions with people, what he's always concerned about is what is in people's hearts, more than their actions, more than their social standing or outward appearance. When you feel others are judging you for your outside, but sense that someone, some unseen person, is seeing your heart and wanting to meet your deep need for new life and new mercies, you can be sure that that's the voice of God offering you life. Another important component in discerning God's voice is being in community with others. Recognizing the voice of Jesus is a learned art, and we benefit from the help of other mature Christian friends, and particularly people who have walked with God a long time. That's kind of like the story I told earlier about having a friend or a spouse when I was talking about Josh sort of calling me out because he knew that didn't sound like God's voice. We need other mature Christians in our life. Early on in the book of 1 Samuel, when Samuel was first taken in by Eli, the priest, as a young boy, Samuel was sleeping, but he was awakened because he kept hearing a voice calling him in the middle of the night, saying, "Samuel." This happened 3 times, and each time Samuel ran to Eli, thinking that it was Eli calling him when he wasn't. And finally, Eli realized that it must be the Lord speaking to him. Samuel was young and didn't know how to recognize God's voice, but Eli had been walking with God a long time. So Eli, from his long experience with God, not only figured out that it was God talking to Samuel, but could also give him practical direction as to how Samuel needed to respond the next time God called Samuel. Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if God calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And that one bit of advice began Samuel's amazing relationship with God. We need experienced Elis to help us discern along the journey. One sort of situation sticks out to me, a chance when I had an opportunity to be an Eli to someone. Again, I was in university. This is like 20 years ago. It was a long time ago. There was a girl in my theater class who was French and had come all the way to Boston to Tufts University as an exchange student. We decided to grab a meal after class one day, and as always, I quietly and quickly prayed before my meal. And when I was done, I looked up, and I saw her staring at me. She asked, "Are you Buddhist?" I'm guessing she said that because I'm Asian. But I said, "No, I'm a Christian." Well, it turns out that she was really curious about religion in general, because in France, separation of church and state was so pronounced that in her school, they didn't even teach about religions as a subject in her school growing up. So now that she was in the States, she was taking a world religions class. After a very long and interesting conversation, we decided we would pray together. So we found a quiet place to pray. And as we prayed, I immediately sensed the presence of the Spirit, which I discerned, similar to how John Wesley did, a sense of love and warmth in my heart. And after I finished praying, she opened her eyes and looked at me in wonder. She said, "I feel something." I was like, "Oh, really? What is it?" She said, "I feel something I never felt before." "Well, what does it feel like?" I was getting really excited. "I feel a warmth in my chest, and it feels really good." I said, "Does it feel like love?" "Yes, it does." And I said, "That's God," I told her. "That's the Holy Spirit of God touching your heart. You're feeling his love." After that, she came to church with me a few times and attracted by that encounter with God. And I kind of lost track with her when the school ends, and I still wonder whether she decided to follow the God behind the voice that touched her heart that day. I have some concluding thoughts, a couple more thoughts that are about what can hinder us from hearing God's voice. And those are two things that are similar to what Josh had shared a couple weeks ago regarding to what can prevent us from encountering the Holy Spirit. So one is fear and control, and second is our own brokenness. So the first one, fear and control. As we learn to discern the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, we need to be careful not to be confused or skeptical of the way he chooses to speak to us. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So what we can rely on is the consistency of his personality and his character, the nature of the voice, the character of his voice, the sense of life, freedom, peace, love. But what isn't always the same is the way he delivers the message. We shouldn't confuse the voice with the ways and means in which the voice speaks. We can't put God in a predictable box. He has spoken through Holy Scripture, people, angels, and in the grandeur of nature, his creation. He's also spoken with a gentle whisper to Elijah on the mountain, visions to Peter on a rooftop, dreams to Joseph, a donkey, and yes, even shrubbery. For those of you who don't know what I'm referring to, Moses and the burning bush. I think we have experienced the creative ways the Spirit of Christ has spoken to us through a song of worship, through life circumstances, through a preacher, through a friend, through pictures and dreams, and through the stillness in our hearts. So I would encourage us not to feel afraid of the Holy Spirit and the way he wants to speak. Always pay attention. If you feel a sense of love and peace, you do not need to fear. God is love, and there's no fear in love. The last aspect I wanted to reflect on is perhaps one of the more important ones, especially as I have been praying and preparing this message for you. I really felt this last implication is particularly relevant for this community. If that's true, I pray that it sinks into your hearts. And that's the influence of our brokenness and broken voices. Some of you have experienced a lot of pain and woundedness. Perhaps it's from church leaders who have wielded their shepherd's staff with an abusive or heavy hand. Some of you have felt misrepresented or even rejected by legalistic church communities. Perhaps we've even been rejected by our own family or experienced a lot of condemnation or hard expectations from our families. A lot of people have been hurt, particularly by their mothers and fathers, for unrealistic expectations and conditional love. And we have internalized those experiences. We often will project those experiences onto God. What I mean by that is we will map our experience with experiences with past authority figures, such as parents or teachers or pastors or mentors or institutions like the church, whether good or bad, onto God himself and the real church communities that represent him. We internalize bad shepherding and teaching. We internalize others' unmet expectations of us. We've internalized all these abuses and it's made us think that God sees us this way too. I prayed for a person early on when I was learning to hear God's voice, And a bunch of us were praying for this person, just for blessing and that he would really experience God in an intimate way. And as we were praying, I got this picture, an image of him standing as a child, standing behind this wall, shaking in fear. And God was on the other side, you know, warm, welcoming, waiting for him, the sense of good father exuding from him. But the person that we were praying for was much more inside, like this little boy shaking, afraid of God, afraid that he would be punished, afraid that God would judge him. And we got the sense that a lot of that was by the way he was raised, from a particularly harsh father. And that because of that, he had projected that same image onto God himself, and he needed healing. So perhaps we have internalized so much of our own woundedness, so much of our own histories, that we say to ourselves, if God doesn't like me or is ashamed of me, then I should either hate myself or hate God and others. Either way, this causes us to feel alienated, lost, bitter, fearful, wounded, and thirsty for healing and hungry for restoration. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, wants to lead us through his gate of salvation, of life. Jesus says that whoever enters through me will be saved. That Greek word for saved is used in a number of ways in the New Testament, and it's not meant to be used in the one-dimensional way we evangelical Christians in our subculture can talk about it as just a way to get to heaven. It means a wholeness, to be saved in full, in our hearts. It means to be healed, to be made whole, to be preserved and restored, to be made the way God wants us to be. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus wants you to relearn who he is. He wants us to know that he is our advocate. He's your counselor and loves you so much that he's not just willing, but already has laid down his own life for you so that you might have a rich and full life in him. Jesus longs to lead you into his community, into his family. So if you need that, if you are sick, God wants to bring healing. If your life is in pieces, he wants to make you whole. If you fear that this world will swallow you alive, he will preserve you. If you have been rejected from past communities or family, he wants to restore you into the loving family of God, his flock, the true flock. So, as we conclude, I wanted to take some time for us to consider, why is Jesus' voice significant? Jesus, after the end of the parable of the Good Shepherd, continues further on in John 10:27, saying, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." His voice is life. The very first verse of John's book says, "In the beginning was the Word." And it was the power of the voice that created, "Let there be light, and there was light," that gave life and breathed his spirit into forms of dust, into human beings. His words are our sustenance. He is our bread of life. His words are our living water, quenching our deepest longing. His voice resurrects and gives life. All he has to say is, "Lazarus, come out," and a dead man comes back to life walking out of the tomb. Jesus is saying this, what he says to the Jews in John 5:25. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Will you open your eyes and ears? Hear the voice of Jesus. Have the courage to follow him into his green pastures and experience his life to the full. Can we pray? And in the same posture and vein of Eli's instruction to Samuel, I ask us to open our hands and quietly ask God, say, it's me, so-and-so. I'm listening. Speak. God, you know each and every one of us. You, like the Good Shepherd, know us by name. You know our histories, our journeys, our ups and downs, and the woundedness we've experienced in our lives as well that's affected our relationship with you. God, I ask that you would come. And I pray that there would be no spirit of fear, that all we would sense and be assured of is your love. You are love. Come pour your love upon us. Soften our hearts that we may hear, see, and trust. In the name of Jesus, amen.